This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise-ready AI.
As a reporter, I have a confession to make. I should have pushed harder earlier for more information about Joe Biden's mental and physical well-being and any signs of decline.
Yeah, you think? That was Chris Saliza. He used to work for CNN and went to social media yesterday. But it took a report, an investigative report by the Wall Street Journal to finally get him to admit that, oh, I don't know, maybe like 4 years ago, he should have started asking a few more questions about Joe Biden's mental faculties. And he just didn't do that. He admitted that. It's one of the big stories that broke yesterday, even with all this government's funding thing going on in the background. A lot of people are talking about this. We've got Madeline Rivera's live for Fox News this morning talking about it as well near the White House. Madeline, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Mike. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for giving me a few minutes this morning. We appreciate that. We really do. So what has the White House response been, if anything, to this report by the Washington, who put it out? The
Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal, yeah. Well, you've got White House spokesman Andrew Bates, who's really pushing back on all the characterizations that the Wall Street Journal made of the president in this article. And sorry about that. You can hear sirens because I'm outside right now, outside of the White House. But you've got Andrew Bates pushing back on all of these descriptions of the president. He said that the president remains engaged, has been engaged throughout his entire time in office. He says that he had regular meetings with his cabinet secretaries, daily meetings with members of his cabinet. That is That is not what the Wall Street Journal reported in their article. They're saying that the president, even in his early time in office, as early as a few months into his presidency, it began to become clear that his age was wearing down on him. He would have good days and bad days, and in some cases, meetings would be scrapped altogether if he had an off day. The Wall Street Journal also reporting that the president met very infrequently with members of his cabinet. So, you know, That is all pretty damning for the president, and the White House is very much aggressively pushing back on this, and it's a hard it's a hard sell when we've seen how the president has acted really over the last course of the 6 months.
I mean, where do you think this goes from here? Because aside from us just being angry that it's officially come out that, yes, they knew from pretty much day one that he was not up to the job. I mean, what happens from here?
Well, the president is leaving the office in a largely diminished role, right? And I think we kind of see that now with, especially in light of the government shutdown, with President-elect Trump dictating what House Republicans should do. It seems that President-elect Trump has really become the focal point of the conversation nowadays. So when it comes to what the president will face, political consequences, not much really. Again, he's not going to have a second term. He will largely retreat to private life. He maintains that he's going to stay involved. To what extent, we just don't know, guys.
Yeah, you know, Madeline, I've wondered about this. If you go back to like the Watergate investigation, the big question coming out of that was, what did they know and when did they know it? And it almost strikes me that somebody's got to ask that question, because it's important. It should be important to the American people to know at what point in the past 4 years did Joe Biden reach the point where he couldn't hold meetings with his defense secretary anymore? I mean, this is the leader of the free world, and we still don't have a clear answer to that, do we?
No, and I think we'll see a lot of that hashed out in the books that will be coming out after his presidency. There's been such a drip, drip, drip of information over the last 6 months, ever since his debate in Atlanta at the end of June. So, there's a lot that still needs to be seen. But also, I've been covering President Biden even as an embed back in 2020, 2019, and he's always had a pretty tight-knit group of people around him. They like to keep him away a lot of times. There's pretty much a very much controlled environment around him, I should say. And it's maintained that way all up until the end of his presidency. Well, we see that.
That is absolutely the truth. Well, Madeline Rivera, we appreciate your time. We'll be watching for your reports from the White House this morning. Thank you.
You got it, of course.
All right, thank you. Yeah, good to get her on here. Of course, the White House is going to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
But I mean, shouldn't somebody help? I don't know what this would look like, but shouldn't somebody be held accountable for the cover-up? Because at some point, that becomes a national security threat. I don't know what that would look like, and that was kind of what I was getting at with Madeline, was where do we go from here? We know that Biden's on the way out. I don't even care about that, per se, as long as we can safely get to the end of his term. What I care about is, what happens to all the people who knowingly lied to the American public time and again, including Kamala Harris, saying he's fine, he's fine, he's fine, he's up to the job, nothing to see here. And we know that was just a blatant lie.
The damage is reputational, right, to the U.S. But I don't know how you make that a legal question. I don't know. I mean, I think we need to identify the people that allowed it to happen. The one at the top of that list is Dr. Jill Biden.
Mm-hmm.
She lives with the guy every day. She knew darn good and well what was going on with him.
And Kamala
and his chief of staff and his entire cabinet. All of these people that knew, they were effectively, each cabinet member was effectively the president in charge of their particular department, because the president was not engaged. And it's pretty obvious Kamala Harris might have been able to step up and fill that void, but she's an empty vessel herself. So there was nobody up there able to make hard decisions. And Joe Biden likes to brag about the fact that he made the final call on Afghanistan. Well, isn't it now pretty obvious? That was a horrible call. And it went against, if you listen to it, the advice of his top generals. So he was still making some decisions, which is even more frightening. The people you need to be pissed off at are the people at the top of the Democratic Party, because they were so desperate to hold on to the power of that office. Jill Biden, the head of the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer, they all knew. All of them knew it. Nancy Pelosi knew it. Hakeem Jeffries knew it. They all knew it. But they would not. They were more worried about their power than they were about the fact that this guy had no business being president of the United States.
But how quickly they'll turn on him. I mean, think about how key of a role Nancy Pelosi played in Biden eventually stepping down after that disaster of a debate with Trump. So she was probably the main one spearheading efforts to, you know, cover up, well, tell everyone he's fine and reassure them. And then as soon as you had some of these celebrity, well, we saw the debate, but then remember Clooney. It was George Clooney who initially came out and said he supported him. And then once more, that's usually how it worked, right? You have to have one brave person who's willing to speak out and get a lot of pushback. And then it's kind of like the Diddy thing. And then once one person comes out, then you're like, oh, you know what? Actually, on second thought, George Clooney says, you know, I did notice there were some things that just weren't quite right when I saw him there, but that was not his story initially.
Maybe that he changed was it. Maybe holding that early debate was an exit strategy for some of those people, because they're like, if we finally let him get out in public, everybody will see it, and there will be pressure to remove him, and then we can just slide Kamala in there and hope she gets it done. I'm sorry, Kamala.
I have thought that too. But it doesn't seem like there was a good plan in place. No. You'd think if that was their plan months prior that they would have had, you know, all right, we're ready to go. Something. This is plan B. Yeah. We're going to put this into action. But they were scrambling. And then the best they could come up with, because people would have been mad if they didn't have Kamala as the pick, that it just seemed like they were like, well, I guess we kind of have to put Kamala in his place.
It's the truth. Jeff is calling in on line one. Jeff, what's your thought on this?
Well, I know that Christopher Wray, under oath, I think, in a some sort of a committee hearing, stated that he didn't recognize that Joe Biden was mentally declined.
Yeah, but what do you do with that?
Yeah, and this came after the Ben Hur proclamation that he wasn't fit to go. Be on trial.
So in other words, somebody under oath said it, and there may be criminal repercussions because of that. Is that what you're saying? If somebody said it under oath?
There ought to be. If it's was so obvious to all these people now, you know, on the back end that, you know, the guy couldn't do the job, he wasn't meeting with anybody, you know, he was just a figure. And Christopher Wray, there's no way that he can, you know, honestly claim he didn't recognize what was going on.
I would agree with that completely. But Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. They're all good questions. I just don't know. I don't know where the criminal charges would stem from unless it was something like that. Maybe that's part of where it is. We'll see if they go down that alley or not. I don't know. Coming up, we're going to talk about, you know, we talked a little bit about with our business folks the other day, the mortgage rates. What happens? What impacts it have on the housing market, for example? We're going to check in with Jennifer Yu coming up here in just a couple of minutes. She is a founder of a real estate company. She's been watching this situation nationwide, and I want to get her thoughts on it when we come back. I should let this play out for just a second here, because Kim St. Ange just said, what song is this?
Please
what
don't
are you
let
playing?
It play out.
Wait. It's called Hot for Teacher by Van Halen. Come on.
It just gets worse.
It's one of the greatest openings
ever. It's one
ever.
Of the greatest music videos to ever play on MTV when they used to have...
TRL?
No, when they used to have videos. Yeah.
That was anyway. What I was... I grew up with TRL.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, you've distracted me now. You said, God, what is this? This is awful. I'm sorry.
My
That's
what,
it's
hurt.
One of the great, like, Alex Van Halen just killed that intro. I just have to tell you that. Anyway, sorry, I'm distracted by the whole thing. So what we were talking about a minute ago was interest rates. Obviously, the Fed cut rates again. You know, many people are like, well, if they're going to cut rates, then mortgage rates should drop, and that should help the real estate business. What's going on out there? Right now, we want to welcome in Jennifer Yeo. She is the owner and founder of Presidio Real Estate, she's a part of a new Bravo reality show based out in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it's good to have her on this morning. Jennifer, welcome in.
Hi, good morning.
So what's your take? I mean, obviously, you know, I get the business people on here from TV all the time talking about these rate cuts. And what we do know is that a quarter point cut in the federal rate doesn't automatically turn into a mortgage rate drop, right?
Correct. And that's what people tend to expect. And unfortunately, it made our mortgage rates go up this time. So the Mortgage News Daily just reported 7.14%. at the end of the year. This is frustrating for consumers. We have going into first quarter, we've been told over and over again that first quarter we would have lower interest rates, and here we start high.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know where it ends. I bought a house last year, and we really kind of hoped that maybe 5 or 6 months out we could go ahead and just
refinance.
Let's refinance it and get a cheaper mortgage. And that's not a reality right now. Do you see that coming in 2025 at all?
You know, again, we've been told over and over again that we will see cuts, but we're just not seeing them. In September, they were at 6.11, and now being at 7.14, we're looking at about $200 more in a mortgage payment every month.
Yeah.
And that's just not the reprieve that consumers were looking for.
Well, I'm just curious, though, regardless of what happens with the rates next year, I'm curious if you think more people will feel more confident. They feel like under a Trump presidency that he'll get inflation under control, or at least better than it is right now, and that with taxes that they'll be in a better position financially, so that they'll still feel like they can buy a home when they normally wouldn't because of rates.
You know, that has been what everyone has expected. Here we have a president coming into our country that is a real estate developer, a real estate guy, and he is a business guy. And so here we're thinking we'll get some rate cuts, the real estate market will get better. And so there is a little bit of hope for that. Right now, it's just not showing it.
Yeah.
We're seeing, yeah.
No, I just wondered. I want to ask you a little bit about the reality TV show that you're doing. Is this high drama? I have a lot of friends who are real estate agents who talk about some of the things they see they'll say to me, you have no idea what we put up with in real estate sometimes. What are you doing in your new Bravo show?
There's a lot of drama. Last night's episode was explosive, if you haven't watched it. I've been doing real estate 18 years. Every transaction, there's drama. The parents tell your buyer on the last minute, don't buy this home. You know, there's all sorts of crazy things that happen. And so you get to see it played out with a great cast. It's got great stories, and Bravo does a great job putting together a very exciting show.
I don't know if you're able to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Like, how much of that drama is the producers who are like, hey, so-and-so said this about you, and I want you to talk about it. Come in this room and discuss it and rile them up.
I would say there's a lot of that. And what's crazy is it's actually real, but they do rile you up. They say, well, he said it like this. How do you feel? So they get you riled up for sure.
Wow. Well, Jennifer, it sounds like you're going through with your voice the same thing I've been going through the past two
yes.
weeks. You poor thing. I hope you feel better, man. That's rough. They ended up diagnosing me with bronchitis about 3 or 4 days ago and finally got on some antibiotics for it. So,
okay, good. I'm glad you feel better.
Yeah, I hope you do, too. Jennifer, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
All right. Yep. Take care of yourself. Boy, I've been there. I know how she feels, because I know she doesn't normally sound like that. I have not watched a full episode of that show, but I have seen a clip of it. So,
big Bravo fan?
I'm not a big, I don't gravitate to those sort of programs, but I did watch a clip of that since I knew I was going to have her on here earlier, and I know her voice doesn't normally sound like that.
Well,
so.
It's like the show Selling Sunset, I think it's called. That really took off. That's based out of L.A. I know this show's out of Utah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of drama with that show.
I have at the gym working out or something, the bank of monitors, I have found myself drawn to those ones where they're taking three different cups. They're taking couples around of three or four different houses
and talking about.
Is that it? Yeah,
I like that show. But I'm sorry to interrupt you. I've heard that two of the homes typically aren't even on the market. Like, you'll be able to tell which home they're going to likely go with because that one's usually empty and not staged. And
yeah.
So oftentimes they're already under contract. Like, the whole deal is done. And then they go show you the homes, because otherwise you'd put an offer in and you could get beat out.
I also love it when
else.
They say, Joe is a bagger at a local grocery store and his wife's a stay-at-home mom. Their budget, $900,000. We're going to take them around and show them these houses today. Give me a break. All right. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. We'll give away some Toto tickets in just a minute.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable, quality clothing right here in the USA. Because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Let's start cutting spending right now. I don't need debt ceilings to do it. I don't need paygos to do it. I don't need crutches to do it. You just have to do it. Just do it. Shock the nation and do it.
Larry, from your mouth to God's ear, we absolutely can do that. And the plan is to put the border security and some defense components of reconciliation out first, and then follow it up with the tax component.
No. All at once, ma'am. All at once. As sources close to President Trump are telling us, he would big, beautiful bill.
I don't think it gets done any sooner, though, Larry. That's the point. If you're going to do one great big one,
yes.
If the end date is September of next year, or you're going to do a easy one early and then do the tax
100
one,
days,
September
Senator
of next year.
Yeah, 100 days, maybe 120 days.
Yeah.
I'm willing to wait 3 or 4 months if it all gets done.
Larry Kudlow, I love it. And when Larry Kudlow says sources close to the president, there's a very good chance it's the president that he's talking about. He's talking to these two senators who I've never heard very much from either one of them. Well, we're going to do that, but we're going to do it slowly. No. That's not what we want. That's not what this has ever been about. But I know it's not just me, Kim. I mean, you get sense of my frustration here, right?
No, not at all.
I'm watching CBS News, CBS this morning, the morning show, at the top of the hour there at 7 o'clock. And because we had a guest there at the top, I didn't really get a chance to talk about this. But I'm watching this, and they go to their reporter on Capitol Hill, and he's like, "Well, Gail, this is a very dangerous situation. The government could run out of money tonight." And I'm thinking, did you really just say that the government temporarily running out of funding is dangerous? The networks have gone to the really extreme on this to try to scare people at home into believing if the altar at which they pray, which is big government, is temporarily not fully funded, your life will radically change. And I would argue that not only is that false, it's demonstrably false. I'll guarantee you if they run out of funding tonight at 12:01, 99% of the people listening to the sound of my voice won't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
The lights are still going to be on. You're still going to get your Medicare and your Medicaid, and you're going to be able to go to the hospital with your Medicare card and get taken care of. If you get Social Security and you get your check at the beginning of the month, so you've already gotten that. Those things don't get interrupted. They're automatically done. They passed a law a long time ago, which defies logic, that those things happen automatically no matter whether the government's funded or not. They're going to confiscate the money and pass it out regardless. You will not notice. So why are the lawmakers so freaked out about it? Why does the media want to scare you into believing that without government, you can't exist?
The left is truly making it seem like if the government shuts down tonight, that you will not have a response from police if you call 911. I mean, that's how much they're trying to scare the public. And then, of course, that riles the public up to put pressure on Congress. And then it's just a mess.
If the government shuts down tonight, we may never get to the truth about those drones. Well, I'm sorry. The government's fully funded at the moment, and we still don't have the truth about the drones. National security is not impacted by it. That nothing is impacted by it. This is completely to the benefit of conservatives who want to shrink the size of government to let this thing expire. Don't even try to bring another bill back up and wait till January 3rd. If Mike Johnson wants to keep his job, that's what needs to happen. And by the way, Kim, I saw you send this out yesterday. Rand Paul tweeted out, we should name Elon Musk Speaker of the House. He'd do a great job.
That had to be a joke.
Well, no, you could do it. You don't have to be a member of Congress.
No, you don't have to be a member of Congress. But does he really think Elon Musk would be a good speaker?
Well,
I don't take that seriously.
I think Rand Paul has enough libertarian in him. He just wants to shrink government. He thinks that would be something that Musk would be good at in that role. But here's the problem. That's the third in line to succession if something was to happen to Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. The Speaker of the House becomes president. He's constitutionally barred from being president. He can't be president. He wasn't born here. So he's not eligible to be president of the United States. So it's just all of that is a distraction. None of that matters. It's in everybody's best interest to just let it shut down tonight. Because if it doesn't, if they reach a deal today, it means Chuck Schumer wins. And I'll go back to this. This is one of the best drops I have here. I've played it over and over and over through the years, but it's true. It goes all the way back to the founding of the Tea Party. When the Tea Party was founded back in the early 2000s, this is one of the guys screaming at the top of his lungs, Rick Santelli.
That's the current spending.
Stop spending. That's what we want.
That's it. That sums it up. Chip Roy summed it up. We need to stop spending. That's what we want. So for these guys to go out and just say, shut this thing down, I am all on board with that. I think that's exactly what needs to happen tonight, and we will see if we're right about that. I don't know. We're going to get the folks from Americans for Prosperity on here in the next hour. I'm sure they've got some ideas. You know, it's more than just not increasing spending. It's also about unwinding this monstrosity that's become Bidenomics. Joe Biden is trying to do all the damage he can as he goes out the door. He just approved another, I don't know how many tens of millions of dollars, might have been hundreds of millions, in trying to give student loan debt to people again. Trying to erase student loan debt. He's passing EPA rules and all this stuff as he goes out the door, trying to somehow stop Donald Trump from reversing any of it. We have got to unwind and be unburdened by what has been in the Joe Biden administration. And that's a big part of the argument. So we're going to talk to Kurt Couchman about that from Americans for Prosperity coming up in the next hour. It's good stuff. Right now, I tell you what, Ethan, why don't you go ahead and hit the song, please. You know what he did here in the song, Kim? This is Men at Work. You know this song?
This does sound familiar.
All right. You have a chance to go see Toto and Men at Work and Chris Cross out at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in August. It is caller 12. We got our last pair of tickets today to 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. I think tickets are on sale today as well. You want to get out there and get to your Yacht Rock tickets right now while you still can. Caller 12, good luck to you. We've just opened up the phone lines for you, and hopefully we get a winner here pretty quickly. I would go see that concert. I wouldn't go to the trouble I went to for the Sammy Hagar concert, where I wanted to be sure I secured seats in the lower bowl because he's such a showman and puts on such a fantastic show. But I could sit on the lawn for that one if I wasn't suffocated by all the pot smoke and listen to those songs. I like those bands, all right?
You do have to weigh that these days.
You do. You absolutely do. It's not as bad. It's bad. It's not as bad down in the seats, but in the lawn, man. Woo!
Who was it, Carl, telling us that buzz. You go to the Jelly Roll concert and it's like, wow.
Oh, I'm certain of it. I don't know. I should quit complaining about that. Do me a favor. I'll quit complaining about it when you all start buying gummies. Just pop them in your mouth and chew them, and you don't have to infect the person sitting next to you. How about that? Says the guy with bronchitis. All right. What are we whimming about today, Kim?
I think it's safe to say a lot of us are probably ordering last-minute gifts from Amazon, online, whatever, having packages mm-hmm. delivered to our home for Christmas gifts. Well, obviously, scammers know that, and now they have this creative new way using those packages to try to get all your personal information. An alert was just sent out from one of the Missouri police departments about how this is happening in the state.
All right, we'll get to that coming up.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. And now, more sweet intro music. Kim on a whim.
I almost have to give some of these scammers props at this point because they just get so creative in the ways they come up with to try to get our information. Yeah. So there's this thing called the brushing scam, which isn't necessarily new. It's been around for a number of years, but there's kind of this new twist. So what they're doing is, and this is happening locally, for example, the Bridgeton and Kirkwood police departments have posted about this happening. The Jefferson City Police Department posted about this happening. But what they're doing is they're saying someone will receive an unexpected gift that you didn't order. So maybe a box that looks like it came from Amazon or another company, which I'm sure all of us are receiving now because we're getting last minute Christmas gifts. I know I'm not the only one who waited.
No, of course not.
So let's just say you get a box and it has a ring or a bracelet or Bluetooth speaker, something like that in it. And it will have your address and everything, but it will not include the sender's information, or it will say, you know, it, whatever the case may be. It doesn't have all the details of the actual person who sent it. So you open it and you think, well, I didn't order this. It must have been sent to the wrong person. Well, what they're doing is they're putting a QR code that you're supposed to scan to see who sent the gift. So once the code is scanned, they're saying that all the information from the phone will be sent to the scammers. Is that really how it would work? If you scanned a QR code, all your information would be sent over?
Not that I'm familiar with. Every time I've ever scanned one of those at a restaurant or something, it just pops up on your camera and it takes you to a website. You would still have to, I don't know that you're automatically agreeing to, unless they've come up with a better mousetrap here, to suck all your information out of your phone. I mean, that seems like an extreme step.
I would think you would, be directed to a website, but someone might get fooled into entering that information.
Yeah, because what will happen is you'll get to that website and it'll say, for security purposes, please enter your name and address so we know who we're dealing with, or confirm the last four digits of your credit card, or, I mean, who knows what they might try to coerce out of people. And somebody may think, well, I guess that makes sense. They don't want to tell just anybody where this is from, so they need my information.
So maybe the information from the police department itself in Jefferson City is incorrect, because this is the post on Facebook. It says, once the code is scanned, all the information from that phone will be sent to scammers. They receive all access to the phone. All personal and financial information is accessible to the scammers. Unless maybe I don't even think this would be possible, but maybe my family was saying, maybe you have your banking information saved. I mean, I know a lot of people like the shortcuts now where you have everything saved into your phone, which you could argue is not really safe. The other part of this that they're saying is happening is that these scammers are actually putting them in other places like parking meters, where, you know, sometimes if you're even parking here in downtown St. Louis, they'll have you scan a QR code and then you pay that way. I've seen those more and more, because then there's an app that they want to direct you to. So supposedly these scammers are putting the fake they're real QR codes, but putting their own QR codes over the existing one. So when you're, putting your phone up to it, it's taking you to that instead. This does not just drive you bonkers when you realize all the lengths that these deadbeats go to. I guess they're technically, they'd probably call themselves entrepreneurs, because they're working really hard to not actually have to do a job and to instead steal your money.
I would agree. It's pretty amazing to me that I'm always surprised when people fall for it, right? But I have to ask, have you seen The Beekeeper?
No, what is
Ethan?
That?
Ethan, the movie The Beekeeper?
No.
It's a Jason Statham movie. And the minute those words come out of my mouth, Jason Statham, my wife's eyes roll up in her head, and she knows it's a action movie where Jason beats the living hell out of every human being.
Are you sure it's not? Is it a love story?
It is a love story.
Oh, okay.
It is. It is a love story, but sort of a love story, right? It is. But it's got Felicia Rashad and Jason Statham. I thought it was a good movie. But the point of the thing is, one of the key elements of the story is getting even with some of these SOBs that do this stuff, right? Because, of course, if all you have to hope is if you are dumb enough to scan this thing on your front porch or ignorant enough to do it or, you know, just blissfully ignorant because you just think, well, this is what I should do, and then they steal your stuff, you don't really have any real recourse. They're probably overseas. In this movie, Jason Statham gets revenge, and I love it.
We'd all like to be able to say what's the actor's name in Taken?
Oh, Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, yeah, thank you. He's like, I will find you and I will kill you. Yeah. That's what we would all like to be able to say to these scammers, because this is seriously what they do for a living, and I'm sure they make a ton of money off of it because so many people fall for it. Yes, I'm that person who's thinking, I can't believe you fell for that. But I'm telling you what, they are getting so creative. There's been a few times where I'm genuinely really staring at something and Googling because I'm not quite sure. And if you're in a hurry, especially these emails I've been receiving recently, because, you know, it's around the holidays, so how timely, where you get an email saying you ordered something.
Yeah.
And you might think, oh my gosh, what if I, you know, one of what do they call them, the skimmers at the gas pump, mm-hmm. you know, where they're taking your information when you put in your credit card to pay. I don't know. So it's easy when you're, again, going quickly and you see one of them that you think, wait a minute, I didn't order anything from that, and you click the link. You look obviously for spelling errors. That's one of the biggest signs that something's not right.
Never be surprised at how sharp these people are and all the new stuff they come up with to try to scam you out of a dime or two of your money. We go to the same, it happens to be a QT near our house a lot, and suddenly a couple of odd charges showed up on our credit card, and that's where we boiled it down that it somehow the information was stolen at that gas station across the street. It happens to be across the street from my bank. And we were able to shut it down and deny the charges and get a new credit card issued. But if you don't realize it for a week or two,
mm-hmm.
you could have lost hundreds of dollars just that fast.
So Lisa on Facebook, which we lovingly call her Mama Kay, she's saying that this happened at her offices. She said that someone wrote RTS on a FedEx. You can't do that. I took the box and looked online for the firm, didn't use the QR code. No one was working there but that name, so they said open it. It was a promo item, they said. Anyway, I'm trying to figure this all out, but point is, she's saying it happened at her office with this fake QR code.
Wow.
See, it's happening here.
It could happen to the best of us. Well,
I mean, what's going to be the future as AI continues advancing? What are they going to be able to do that makes it that much more convincing? Because they already have the scam where they pretend to be your loved one who got into a car accident and they need your help and all this money that they need you to send over. And I think most people would probably not fall for that. But I've heard that they've been able to find a way where they can make it sound like that loved one, which would be very convincing. I mean, think about how AI is going to change this, because those pathetic scammers are going to be the ones who take all the time to learn all the possibilities that they have with AI and use them against us.
It's true. I had an aunt who fell victim to that one time years ago. I thought it was a grandchild calling and sent money. So they're always coming up with something new. All right. Next hour, we're going to get Kurt Couchman on here from Americans for Prosperity. In addition to the budget, how do they go about unwinding Bidenomics? That's a great question.